Yes, thank you, Brother Lawrence, for those words of welcome. And now that we have been officially welcomed, we'll open with the first discourse of the day by Brother Charlie Chambers. He has suggested that we open his service with hymn number 130, Earnest Watchfulness. Brother Jerry Anders will ask the blessing upon Brother Charlie's service.
Our Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, we do come to thee, dear Father, with a special request. We pray for our dear brother, that as thou will fill his mind and has filled his mind with the truth, that through the hearts of his word, that he might indeed lift us higher to thee, even into the heavenlies. So to this end, dear Father, bless he who speaks and we who hear. And we praise thee and thank thee for all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Brother Charles Chambers of Vancouver, British Columbia. I'm sure you all know Brother Charles, so I don't have to explain who he is. Now, the chairman always asks the one who is speaking what his subject is going to be. And Charlie just said to me, that's the big question mark. So he's going to announce his own subject, and we're very glad to have him here to discourse to us then, Brother Charlie Chambers. Lord bless you.
Thank you, Brother Jerry, and Brother Don, and thanks for the Seattle Ecclesia, your loving kindness and in inviting us to come, and for all of you being here and share the fellowship together. I've been praying for Brother Charlie, too, for months. And thanks for your prayers. All that Brother Bud has said, I have been giving a lot of consideration to, as you will see in a minute as well. Our hymn, What a Principle, I Want a Principle Within. And because of the shortness of the period of time that we have left to make our calling and election sure, notwithstanding those that are rendering their consecration to the Lord, it's not like it used to be, we'll say in the old days to me, when many were being baptized. So it's a serious thing that crowns are being lost, and that is something to think about. So I want a principle within, and I know you do too. So I would pray for you as I would ask your prayers on my behalf. First, I would like to bring the love of the brethren in Vancouver. Also, Sister Berna Bolton sends her very special love. She's not a well sister at all. You can remember her in prayers, drop her a line, a phone call. It is very much appreciated. She does not get out to all our meetings, too many of them really, so she's a burden on our heart as well in our prayers. I have some special love I have from Dan and the family. They're always interested down here, and Brother Don Cannell is always a favorite of Dan and the family. And so you have that love and others that Sister Ruth and others may bring from up our way, as some of our brethren will be attending. The other day, someone gave me a heart-cheering thought. They said, Charlie, do you know that two-thirds of what you're going to say is going to be forgotten? That was elevating. And so statistically, we know that is true. We don't have great powers of retention, do we? So trying to make a choice of a subject, as our brethren do in preparing a lesson, I reflected upon world conditions and where we are at this time as well. I looked into the matter of the nation of Israel. I'm sure that taken up a lot of our time, the predicament they're in. What is the answer? How are they going to get out of this? Or is it later than we think, when the nations are preparing to finally come against her? Or will the Lord see that this is ironed out in some way? I looked at public concerns along the matter of the diseases that are sweeping the world. A great concern. What are they going to do? It's eating up taxpayers' monies. There are those that want to remain separate in their physical condition, not to become contaminated. And yet it's something that's thrust upon society as a whole, whether we like it or not. At least our finances have to play a part somewhere in preventing the spread of various diseases. I thought about doctrinal matters amongst the brethren, chronological features along the lines of Brother Bud has said, where we are on the stream of time and what was expected a few years ago. Now, undoubtedly, it's all coming to pass, just slowed down in its process. I thought about the standards of morality that have bothered the brethren all over the world. There are so many things that we could discuss together that are of great concern to us as we press on in the last stretch of this race course into the kingdom by His grace. So now comes the one-third. The two-thirds I know you're going to forget. But the one-third is, that's left, is the subject matter that I decided I would make a choice. And that is free trade. Oh no, somebody says. Every radio program, every television program that's going all through the week, all through the month, the last 3 or 4 years, has got something to say about free trade. Whether in government or in houses or wherever the society is, free trade. It's destroying the nations, destroying, breaking down relationships, particularly Canada and the United States. Now, those of us who live near the border between Canada and the United States, it becomes very familiar to us, the subject of free trade. The further south you get in the United States, well, some of them don't even know what it's all about. They interview them on the street, well, they don't know a thing about it. But certainly we near the border continually are confronted with the subject matter of free trade. Of course, I'm not going to discuss on behalf of Mr. Reagan or Congress or in Ottawa, Mr. Mulroney or the Senate or anything like that. Far be it. But as Christians, it is of paramount importance for us to understand that we have been advised that we are not to delve into politics. We are not to get involved in these matters that are taking up the attention of time and money and energy of those that are in positions of authority in government. We have been, according to Colossians 1:13, a marvelous statement. If we can let that come through to us, we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Just dwell on that. That is a revelation in itself. We are in the world, but we are not of it. And we like to talk about that and confess that this is a fact. But the drawing powers, the magnetic drawing powers of our day, more than at any other time in the history of the entire world, is drawing brethren involved in worldly things, legitimate things in many cases, and other things as well. It's a power and a force peculiar to this 20th century. In the days and centuries ago, in the Dark Ages, to be a Christian, it really cost something. You knew that you would be thrown to lions, you would be persecuted by the church that was in authority at the time. There was no escaping it. But you see, that is not the case today. Therefore, while being in the world and not of it, we have a very special status according to the scriptures, which we must, according to our hymn we would sing, I'm a stranger, do not detain me. I haven't got time. Do we really say that? Or do we weaken as the years pass by and involved in matters of the world? The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 2:11 tells us, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. One of the very first tests that Jesus was submitted to when he was taken after his baptism into the wilderness was to gratify self, his flesh. He was wearied. He was tired after 40 days and 40 nights. He was fasting. He was hungry, believe it or not. But he had applied his heart to understand the will of God. But nevertheless, Satan knew exactly when to apply that temptation. In Deuteronomy 8:3, and coupled with Matthew 4 and 4, from which the quotation was borrowed by Jesus, he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. That was an important lesson. If you look in your Bible comments under that particular Matthew 4 and 4, Brother Russell suggests that we in our fellowship and association as Christians must beware that we do not use this power or privilege to the furthering of any of our earthly or selfish ends. Because self certainly is a great enemy. Jesus in Luke 12, 15 to 21 presents a parable to us, thwarted with dangers. He says, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Think of the abundance that is at our fingertips today in our modern society. This affluent society that is shaking North America in the main. But God saith unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. That's the contest. Not being rich towards God to the degree that we agreed to do when we made our consecrations. So we hope by our title tonight, Free Trade, to draw some illustrations that will help us to understand that as new creatures, that we might learn how to be rich towards God, as Jesus said, and that we might learn what products we can trade off and what products that we are to acquire and expand as to become a part of our life. Free trade. It has become a war. Now, I want to go back to the reprints 2827 and an extract from the Philadelphia Flyer, which Brother Russell includes in the reprint, a directive from him. I want you to take special notice, and I want you to update it from reprints 2829 that goes a long way back to 1901, 87 years ago. You would think this was written today, talking about the United States and Canada and other European countries. Leading nations have simply fallen into a veritable madness in their scramble for trade. That is precisely the way things are. Commercial interests, so-called, stand ready and are eager to sacrifice everything, untold treasures of the people at large, along with their highest rights and profoundest welfare, in order to keep or attain supremacy for themselves and for furthering of their ends. Millions on millions of the people's money are these nations hot to lavish in outlay so as to buy or bribe the chief advantage of trade lines of the one against the other. A trade war is the same as any other greed. Greed is behind it all, and we have the highest authority for holding that greed is behind all wars. They come of men's lust. But today, greed in the elaboration and marvelous complications of modern life has become an overmastering disease. The whole land is swept by it. Society quivers in its sway. And that wasn't from a newspaper of last week in 1988, but 87 years ago. How fitting today is the dangers then of free trade. a trade war is abroad. Now, between the United States and Canada, the question continually is rising in Congress and in the Parliament is, what do we get out of this? What do we get out of this? Peter's words in 1 Peter 2:9, and I continually remind you of our status. In 1 Peter 2:9 and 10, he tells us that we are a nation. Let us understand that we are a nation. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We've been set aside as a special nation, which in times past were not a people. Indeed, we weren't. In the miry clay, bogged down, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And what is the nature of that mercy? We have been given citizenship papers in this new kingdom, translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And the scriptures tell us that we are citizens of this heavenly country. We are citizens. So can we raise the same questions then as a nation to the north and this nation here in which we are, United States? Can we raise the same questions as gains and losses and commodities then that we in this new nation are permitted to acquire and to expand, and other commodities that is absolutely in order to trade off? In Matthew 19, 23 to 28, we read a documentation from the Lord. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom. When his disciples heard this, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? What is the cost? Do we have to give up everything, really? Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all, and we have followed thee. And what shall we have therefore? What a question at the time. They left their fishing businesses. None of them were of great men of the world. They had no letters, unlettered men, no DDs, no bachelors of this or that. Unlearned men, unlettered men, as the Greek suggests, but honest, honest men that God had chosen through Christ. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, now, in this life, in the regeneration, in the world's new birthday, then you shall sit on thrones judging the nation of Israel and the antitypical nation of Israel, all the world. Yes, now it is costing us something, and that was the agreement we entered into. But in the regeneration, in the world's new birthday, then it would be different. Then our citizenship now, to see how faithful we will be as citizens of that kingdom, we are being proven. It's the workshop of life every day. And if faithful, then we will be born again citizens into that kingdom itself. So there is a work ahead of us, brethren. There is a work ahead of us. And we must be very observant then. And by the way, as it suggests, the remunerations are not great now, but the future remunerations are out of this world, as they say, in the real sense of the word. Notice Brother Russell's suggestion as to what is implied when they said, we forsake all. Take yourself back in your life when you said that. I forsake all, Lord. He says, let all who would run the race successfully look well to their zeal and activity in the Lord's work. If we bury, remember that? If we bury any one of many talents under a weight of worldly cares and encumbrances which might be avoided or set aside, if we bury them under worldly ambitions for either self or family, And whether this be by wasting consecrated time upon science, philosophy, music, art, business, politics, pleasures, or in pampering pride and appetite, then as unfaithful servants, we will sooner or later go into outer darkness. That's the price we pay. Nothing wrong in those things. It's not what he's saying. But we covenanted to give up our valuable time in his service, in study, in prayer, in fellowship, meeting together, all these things that will stimulate and agitate the consecrated heart of the new creation. But we have agreed to give those up and not to bury our talent. Or as Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, you cannot serve God and mammon. It is clear as that. We have forsaken all. 27th verse. So we get a hint then, really, brethren, that we as citizens of this new nation indeed have been required to negotiate at a very high level of sacrificing. That is, sacrificing these many legitimate things, whatever these happen to be. When we first came to know the Lord and enter into negotiations, we were invited to sit down and count the cost. Luke 14:28. Romans 12:1, of course, it was clearly set before every one of us and entreated to lay down our lives in sacrifice in his service, made holy through the blood of Jesus Christ, no other way. And it appealed to us, and we waited, as Paul said to the Corinthians. We therefore reason that if one died for all, then all were dead. Henceforth we should not live henceforth unto ourselves anymore, but unto him that gave his life for us. It was no complicated thing, brethren, when we came and the contract was presented to us. It read very clearly. And we said, yes, Lord, by thy grace we will do this and enter into that contract. But the years have passed, and then the tests were applied. And then we began to see the numbers drift off, engulfed in trading off elements and qualities that should rather have been attained instead of letting them slip away and replacing them with other trading of lesser value. Very subtle. Psalm 45:10-11, we agreed to do something. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. You remember the day when you agreed to leave your father's house? That is Father Adam's house, of course. Oh, it made you a better Christian in the home. If you were a young man and your dad was living, oh, you wanted to show that Christian spirit. Or if you were married or you had children, you became a better father or a mother or whatever. But when you left your father's house, that was it. We don't go back there again. It all shapes up to be a very serious matter. There can therefore be no free trade with the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's the opponent. The world, the flesh, and the devil. In our free trade aspect, which we think in terms of a parable. So these two countries, United States and Canada, are locked in serious negotiations, believe me, at every level of government. But in our case, our negotiations ended at consecration. Now, we are expected to live up then to these terms of the contract. Simply put, Jesus said himself when he entered into his contract, not my will be done, but thine be done. And through our memorial season, Jesus was continually bringing this to us. Pass, eat this, all of you eat of it, drink ye all of it. It was that invitation, wasn't it, in another symbolism, to partake of his flesh and be part of that loaf and to give our lives in turn on behalf of the world and to give our lives and to be broken for the world. And we can't be broken in that loaf, brethren, by negotiating with the world on its terms. It just doesn't work out, does it? We have no free trade commitment with the adversary. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And the adversary is right there to use these three avenues, if possible, to break us away so that we will trade indirectly with the adversary. And that's what it amounts to by dealing and trading with the things that we are not supposed to be following through the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's a warfare. Now, the Apostle Paul in Romans 7, 15 to 25, he reminds us that he, like us, has got a warfare on their hands. And I'm sure every one of us can testify to this. And so he said, starting at verse 15, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would do, I do not, but what I hate, that I do." And he continues to go on to point out that this is a warfare. Verse 23, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. I thank God through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Now, if we are conscious of this awareness of this law and combat or this warfare, that's good. That is excellent. But if we are not finding that we have a warfare, possibly we are being engulfed, and in this free trade matter, maybe we are freely trading just a little bit too much in the direction of the adversary. Hebrews 10:38. Remember, Brother Russell suggests again, "The drawing back may at first be a very slight departure from the narrow way of sacrifice. Only a looking back, perhaps with a sigh for the things behind. A little slowing up of speed in the race set before us. And then a little disposition to compromise the truth in favor of the cravings of the fallen nature." Isn't that a subtle affair that we are up against, the procedure? "Thus the way is prepared for the arts of the tempter, who is quick to note our weak points and to take advantage of them in a manner best suited to our case." We're all different in which the manner in which the Lord, the Satan rather, will see to try and get us to trade off the things that we had agreed to do. "Subtle errors are brought to bear against the judgment. Pleasing allurements with a show of righteousness are presented to the fleshly mind, and almost imperceptibly," isn't that a powerful word? "Almost imperceptibly, the soul forgets its first love, what it had negotiated to give up, and the things it had promised to love, to seek chiefly the kingdom of God and its righteousness, its standards. The first love for the Lord and its first zeal for his servant, and drifts away from the truth, and the spirit of it being no longer led of the Holy Spirit of God." So there's a warfare on, brethren. Apostle Paul reminds us then in Ephesians 6 that we must put on the whole armor of God. We need it. Put it on piece by piece. See if it is buckled on properly. Don't having looked back to a day when we did put it on, but maybe it's coming loose again. Every part of that's needed in this warfare, in this free trade situation that we are involved in between the world, the flesh, and the devil, and us as citizens in this new kingdom, citizenship. Let us examine then some of the areas of the products which the free trade negotiations are being involved on the international level. And we use this word citizenship again advisedly, because Apostle Paul in Ephesians 2:19 says, "Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens." I love that. "You are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God," as citizens. So with this thought in mind, what are some of the levels of discussion that seems to be dividing United States and Canada much more than some other countries in Europe? Well, we have the field of agricultural aspects, agricultural. You see, the United States, with its warm climates, mainly down there in the south, and while they're basking in growing grapes and vegetables of every kind in the southern regions, we up in north, we've got snow and skiing is going on and this kind of thing. So the United States has an advantage then, because so much of its territory is down in a warmer climate. So you see, this bothers our farmers up there, because the United States is flooding our country with all this kind of produce. Well, making a comparison that way, we realize that we too have to produce fruitage in the agricultural level. And Paul just warns us of the kind of agriculture that that we have to be involved in and get rid of and trade off, and the kind of agricultural fruitage that we must be very diligent in retaining and growing and getting more out. So you know that favorite in Galatians 5, 19 to 26. So let's trade off, as it were, freely trade off some of these things. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Oh, Paul. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I always spiritualize those because we don't have to be told in the natural physical sense. But they are spiritualized, and there are great dangers that you see part of the warfare that is embedded in us when we left the miry clay and came out. And some of that clay sticks for years and years. But now Paul turns around and he reminds us of the kind of fruitage that we want to trade in and acquire more of. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There is no restriction to the amount of this fruitage, brethren, that we are being advised to try to acquire. That's Paul's white paper submission to us on the kind of fruitage then that we are to have. Let's not trade off those commodities, brethren. We once had our time in those things. Ephesians 2, 1 to 3. Once we were dead like others, alienated from God, and we agreed to turn around and acquire a different brand of fruitage. Let's trade away the old and let's acquire more of that which is acceptable to the Lord in our remaining days. Numerically, Jesus said in John 15, 5 to 8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." In the Greek, it suggests numerically. Strong says abundantly. Not just grow a couple of apples in that, and that's the only fruit we're interested in, figuratively. Let's grow as much of the fruits of the Spirit as we can. And then my Father will be very happy, he says, if we do that. However expertly we may function in the truth, brethren, in other areas, as Brother Russell points out, let no other truth, beloved, becloud this matter. This is the will of God concerning you, even your sanctification. All our studies, whether it be in the matter of chronology and doctrines of the ransom, the features of the reign, and wherever we are in this plan of God that we have found so bountifully provided for us, brethren, must add up on the bottom line, has to add up to bearing fruitage. And the matter of chronology can bear fruit, or it can turn us off and sour us. It can produce other kinds of fruit, of hatred and otherwise. But that sound truth that has been given to us, brethren, is the best source that we can indulge ourselves in to produce fruit, the fruit that the Lord is looking for. In some other areas of what is being considered to trade off in free trade, and that is in the area of the time goes so fast, doesn't it? Tempus fidget. I'm fidgeting. In the areas of minerals. Now, in minerals, there's copper and silver and gold. That is quite a problem between the United States and Canada when it comes to mining. United States, considerable lot of money, and they want to invest that in Canada. And Canadians have a rule, they don't want to have foreign monies come in and purchase a 51 or controlling in the shares and so on. So we have a combat on between these two countries. Then we have the oils. The United States likes to come in and dig down in our oil and get lots of oil and invest monies and take it away. We have oil stocks as well, brethren, as the Lord's people, as we will see. We have dairy products. We deal in milk. Apostle Peter said and reminds us that we want to, and Paul said, we want to acquire lots of the milk of the word. always seen brethren that indulge in too much meat to start with, and they floundered all their lives and were never clear in present truth. It's essential for every one of us to be established or establish others that we are helping in the milk of the word. Wean from the breast, the prophet said. Not weaned on milk, on meat to start with. And so get those basic truths. And so Paul, in the Hebrews, the fifth chapter, the last four verses, Hebrews 6, 1 to 3, tells us, now let us go on. Let's not establish again the ABCs of the truth, the milk of the word, but let us build on these as a foundation and go on from there. In the construction material. Oh yes, we are interested in construction too, because we believe in the establishment of the Lord's kingdom at this present time. That he is setting up his kingdom. But we have been wise in the Lord's grace to understand the many phases that are involved in this. And if we lose sight of phases, then we're in difficulty, brethren. Let that word phase come through loud and clear from the pen of Brother Russell himself. Now, brethren, all these changes in the stock market, in the trading today, affects the stock market. Yesterday, was it, or this morning, or listening on the news early, Dow Jones is going down, I don't know how many points. Toronto stock market, Vancouver stock market. See, everything is affected by the stock market, and down it goes, it shows up. It's just like a pulse, isn't it, of the financial state of the world. It's getting to be a very serious matter. Dark, black, blue, whatever you want to say, Friday in 1987 was one that exceeded even the losses of 1929 when the stock market bottom fell out at that time. But on Wednesday, October the 31st, 1916, it was a dark Wednesday when one man passed away. And it affected the spiritual stock markets of the Bible students all over the world. And it has never recovered. And has remained that way since 1916, October the 31st. Waves of ill feeling swept our ranks at that time. The society sank to a terrible low. The love of the many grew cold, and the hour continued. What hour? The one that the Revelator talked about, Revelation 3 and 10, that the hour of temptation which will come upon the whole world to try them and to try us as well, not just the world. And we have seen by hindsight exactly the testings, how severe it has been amongst the Lord's people. From 1874 to 1916, Bible students' stocks were at the highest level that you ever seen them for century after century after century. But Dark Wednesday changed all this. They've never recovered. At this convention, then, I asked you, and I believe the brethren will be stimulating us, that we will reassess our investments in the stocks that were introduced to us under the ministry of Brother Russell. In every level, whether it be dealing in copper, for our justification is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not through any other means can we stand before him. If we apply the rules of Solomon in Proverbs 2, 1 to 10, where he gives us about six ifs, if you do this and do that and do this and that, in your efforts to maintain your investments in the purity of the truth, then thou shalt understand the reverence of the Lord and the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, preserveth the way of the saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. We are the losers, brethren, if we trade off our stocks for anything less than truth. And there are counterfeit stocks on the spiritual market that efforts are being made to sell to us. So to all of us who possess on the spiritual trade market these spiritual stocks, remember the advice of the Apostle Paul that strong delusions would come in this time to turn away the very elect, if possible. Yes, sadly so. There are those that were of the very elect that succumbed to these trading values and got their trading values all twisted up. It is sad. Peter said, for as much as in 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, because you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the traditions of men, no, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb. That's the kind of copper. Our salvation in Romans 5, 1, 8 and 1 tells us our copper stocks are in Jesus Christ. Our oil stocks are the possession of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 133. Let us continue to increase our stocks. An unction from the Holy One, and you all know it. Acquire more of the Holy Spirit, of that oil, that unction, which is from above. Our gold shares, they're centered in the holy and the most holy. We are sitting in heavenly places. The divine promises and our expectations, the divine promise that we may share and live with Him in eternity. And first of all, first things first, is to, by the power and glory of the kingdom in power, is to raise mankind up to perfection. And then there will be all eternity ahead, brethren, after that mighty work for which this plan of salvation was developed, that Jesus should taste death for everyone, a life for a life, Jesus for Adam, because in Adam we also share, by his recovery, this plus value of being called to glory, honor, and immortality, in leaving our Father's house, trading off the world and the things of that nature, so that we may have a place and share with Him. So now, then, in closing, while the debate continues between these two nations, Canada and United States, and by the way, it affects other nations as well, it is quite clear to us, is our message. If you forget the two-thirds, remember the one-third. Free trade. Trade all those things of the flesh that you can. But trade back in turn those things that are acceptable in the sight of God. There can be no free trade with the world, with the flesh, and with the devil. And I am sure by the Lord's grace, those who will follow will help us to establish the standards and regulations that will govern us from day to day as we run this race. Not much time left, brethren. God bless you. Pray for us.
Well, we certainly thank Brother Chambers for those thought-provoking words, and I'm glad that he did announce his own subject and explain his thoughts behind it. Very rich blessing from the Lord, we believe, something to help us to watch in the future. And our closing hymn is along that line, hymn number 183, Watchfulness.
Our dear loving Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy wondrous name. In faith and reverence, wings of prayer, we come to thee in the name of our dear Savior. We thank you for the anticipation of this convention. We ask you to continue to bless us, Father. We thank you for your grace all through life. Hold our hands, and our dear Savior, please come with us as well. Bless those that will continue, Father, to stimulate us in the Spirit, that we may continue through these 3 days to sit in heavenly places, and that thy words will be a power in our life, knowing that there are the world and the flesh and the devil continue, dear Father, to cross our paths, and we depend on thee. We are mindful of the world's needs. Our hearts go out anxious for their deliverance, and pray for the those of this heavenly citizenship, wherever they might be, in Jesus' dear name.
Thanks again, Brother Charlie. Yeah, it does. You have to get geared up, don't you?
Yeah, well, you get some awful sinking feelings along the way. What am I doing here?
You too.
Oh, yeah. You too.
Emptiness. I wonder sometimes if you really have something to offer.
You do. Overwhelmed. You get a joy out of it yourself, and then you come and you confront, oh, what am I talking about? They might not like it. I mean, it's, I'm enjoying it, yeah, but, and that kind of overwhelms you.
That was very good. That was overwhelming. Very, very helpful. I'm sure the brethren will take that home with them.